Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of Lending Forward. This week, I'm your host, Cody Fox. I am here in the mountains of North Carolina in Asheville, and I am lucky enough to have Justin Reed with us. He is the owner of the Key Source Properties, and you are in Kentucky, actually, correct?
Yes, I'm in Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, not going to say how many years, but Justin and I have known each other since college. One of us was doing sandwiches and one of us was folding clothes. And I'm not going to tell which one, but we've got a little bit of history, right?
Yes.
But now we're both in real estate. So funny how all that works out.
Yeah.
But tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned, we've known each other for a while, but I am from North Carolina. We both met in Boone, North Carolina. And I moved to Louisville, Kentucky 10 years ago. And when I moved, I didn't expect to be in real estate. That wasn't really my goal. And short-term rentals, Airbnbs, certainly wasn't a part of my goals, but I kind of fell into it. And it has taken me on a whole nother journey, but I've lived in Louisville for 10 years. I'm from North Carolina and happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I know it's like you kind of fall into real estate sometimes. It's never a decision, right?
Right, yeah.
How did that journey start for you, though? We'll just jump right in. The main reason for having Justin, he is has a really successful short-term rental business, and just wanted to pick your brain on it. But how did you get started in this in real estate then?
Yeah, so in 2014, my now husband and I bought a duplex in the old Louisville neighborhood of Louisville. And we actually bought the house with the intentions of never living there, but only using it as income producing. And we found ourselves in a situation where we actually had to move in to the duplex. So once we were in there, we were like remodeling it and coming up with ideas of what we wanted to do with the duplex. Should we long-term rent it out? Because we were also hearing all this talk about this Airbnb thing that was happening. So we did some digging into Airbnb, and we ended up making the second floor of our house an Airbnb. And our first official launch date for the Airbnb was the Kentucky Derby in 2015. And if you don't know anything about the Kentucky Derby, it is the biggest event that happens in Kentucky every first weekend in May. So historically, for the Kentucky Derby, Airbnbs, vacation rentals, however you refer to them during that time, they actually go for a whole lot of money that weekend. Sometimes people can make up to 15 grand over three nights just from that one weekend. So that was our first initial launch into Airbnb.
And thrown into it with that then.
Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of exciting because we were meeting these people, and Airbnb has certainly evolved since, you know, 8 years ago, but like we met the people that were staying there, and they were so kind and complimentary, and they obviously were having such a fun weekend. And so like once that was over, our energy around Airbnb was just really high and exciting. So we ended up continuing to rent it out, and it continued to be successful. And so over time, we were just very vocal about how much we enjoyed doing it. During that time, people started reaching out to us to say, hey, I have this house that used to be a rental, or hey, I have this house that I don't know what to do with. Do you think that I should put it on Airbnb? So we would say yes. And after we helped them set up, they actually asked us to manage it for them also. So, it really became a snowball effect after that. And like, we just kept taking on more clients and taking on more houses, and it really grew pretty quickly. And I am proud to say that my husband Jonathan and I, we were the first official short-term rental business in Louisville. I think that we were the catalyst for many others behind us. But you know, before the pandemic, we actually had an office. We had a staff, a cleaning staff of 15 cleaners. We had a linen company because you have to launder all of the sheets and the towels. So we had a linen staff of 2 people, and then we had an office administrative staff of 7 people. And so we had people who were communicating with guests, scheduling cleaners, working with the cleaning team, working with the linen. So we just had this huge production by 2020.
And then COVID happened. But backing up just a little bit, though, before we get into that, how long until you, from when it started with the Airbnb, the Kentucky Derby, from when you actually launched your business officially, that you were like, okay, this we could make this into a business.
Yes, I skipped over some pretty important parts there, didn't I?
You're good.
So at the time when Jonathan and I first started taking on clients and agreeing to do this, I was actually working at Audi, the car dealership. I was in the service department, and Jonathan was working at AT&T, and we found ourselves feeling really like rushed and during our lunch times because we would go to these properties and clean them and turn them over really quickly, or we'd have to do it after our jobs ended. So there became a point where we were just like, you know, we're taking on these clients. We are growing kind of quickly. Should we maybe make this our primary income? Like, is this what, should we just like take the jump and do this for ourselves and just work for ourselves? And that is always a little scary at first
Just
because
a
when you have
little.
a con yeah, when you have a constant paycheck coming in every week and you know where it's coming from, like that feels really good. I will say one thing about Jonathan and I, like almost every single venture that we've taken together since we've met each other, like we just always jump into it and we're just like, we'll sink or swim. And every single time we tend to swim. So I feel very fortunate with that.
You don't know what's going to happen until you jump in and let it happen, though.
Yeah.
So at least it's been very lucky for you that these things have been successful. So let's jump forward to COVID, though. I mean, and I do want to jump in a little bit too about the different ups and downs of the business just in general, and just some tips for any of our listeners as well. So y'all hang on, we're getting to it. But tell us a little bit about how COVID impacted you with the short-term rental business.
Yes. So when COVID happened, you know, I mentioned the number of staff that we had, 15 cleaners, 7 administrative staff, 2 linen company staff. So we had all these people, and then we also had 72 properties when COVID hit. So like we had a really big organization. And when the pandemic happened, unfortunately, when was that, like March? So as I mentioned, like Derby's the first weekend in May, so we already had all of our Derby reservations for that year. We had reservations on the books for months to come. And when the pandemic happened, Airbnb the platform and VRBO the platform were just like, sorry guys, we're refunding all the guests all their money. And so within a day we saw like so much money just go out of our bank accounts. That happens. So then I'm like devastated because I have all of this like staff too. Like I care about my people and I just like didn't want to leave them high and dry. But also, if I don't have any guests in these properties, then I can't provide work to you. So as everyone experienced, it all just came to a screeching halt. And during that time, I actually, because I don't like letting people down, I was like, okay, well, I can't just have these properties sitting empty. I have all these clients over here. So one beneficial thing that happened during that period was I listed all of the individual properties on Zillow as month-to-month rentals. And
Right.
during that time, I don't know if you're familiar, but Louisville is actually a huge like hospital hub. So all of these nurses were coming into Louisville to work at the hospitals. And as you know, like the demand for nurses was so high then. So we actually housed a ton of nurses at all of our properties for like 8, 9 months that year, almost to the end of that year, just to allow opportunity for everyone to catch their breath. We still had some money coming in. Our clients were happy that we pivoted that way. And then we enter 2021 and kind of see like, should we go back on the Airbnb market? Is it safe? Do we follow all these precautions? One thing that happened on Airbnb and VRBO, the platforms, is that they actually like sent us out all these regulations that we had to follow. Now, of course, the CDC gave us regulations too, but Airbnb and VRBO was like, if you're going to operate, you have to take all of these extra precautions to make sure that your guests are safe and healthy during this time.
Because they're responsible for it too, in a way. If you're going through them through their platform, they've got legal ramifications if something happens as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How are things going now for you now that we everything's been lifted? Where are we at on properties and staffing and everything that's going on for you and now in 2024?
Things look a lot different in 2024. I will say that while we were very successful up until 2020 and everything was really great, I think one blessing that came out of the pandemic, if that's what you want to call it, is that it allowed us to reorganize our organization and find different structure and efficiencies, because while we were growing, things were just so chaotic and it felt like we were being just reactive to things because there was so much going on all the time. So during that 8, 9 months that we had all of our rentals as more like what we call midterm rentals, month to month, during that period, it allowed us time to like reconfigure how everything looked so that when we re-entered the world of short-term rentals, that we were not. We wanted to be proactive as opposed to reactive to everything. So we were trying to think ahead. So we actually, I said that we had like 15 cleaners, 7 office staff, all of that stuff. One thing that we did was we started subbing out the cleaning and the linens. We didn't just have a staff anymore because, as much as I loved my people at the time, I've learned that I no longer want to manage people anymore.
Properties
Too
on my back.
much. Yeah, it's too much. I'm like, why are we arguing? Shouldn't we be doing our jobs? Like, there's just more going on than all of this. So, I just found myself doing even more work on top of the guests and the preparations on the properties. I'm also managing these teams who are butting heads and things. So we subbed it out. There's someone else's problem now to deal with the staff. So we subbed things out. We also scaled back. So it's all about like quality over quantity for us now. So right now we have about 30 properties and that's fine. We just found a lot more of efficiencies, and scaled back. That was like the biggest thing that we did to help be successful now.
So let's talk through, like, let's say somebody isn't just falling into this like you did, and this is actually a goal of theirs. What are some ups and downs that you experienced apart from the obvious pandemic that we all went through? But what are some ups and downs that you experienced, and some advice that you might give to somebody in getting up and started, or what hurdles they can try to go ahead and get around before it becomes a hurdle, things like that.
Sure. If you're interested in getting into the short-term rental industry, I would say that first and foremost, it's really important to know what the regulations and laws in your own city are. When Airbnb really took off, like in Louisville at least, it was kind of like a free for all. There were no rules or regulations, and everyone could be an Airbnb if they wanted to. So that created like a saturation in very popular neighborhoods. It was a lot of saturation, so much so that like neighborhoods were becoming more of an Airbnb area as opposed to being like residential. So that causes concern for housing crisis and stuff, right? So Louisville took the time to come up with rules and regulations, which in the beginning felt frustrating because we thought it was going to hurt our business, but we actually found that we had more quality clients who actually wanted to be a part of it, and not everyone was just throwing their house on the Airbnb market. I know that in Asheville, or at least I think I know that in Asheville, like you all don't allow Airbnbs in like the downtown area. Is that correct?
Yeah, and just depending on with this episode post out too, I mean, there's the different sub locations around Asheville. There's all kinds of talk of are we going to continue to allow it in this neighborhood or in that neighborhood? So, I mean, it's constantly changing. So, I mean, knowing those rules and regulations wherever you are is going to be a huge impact on where you actually decide to focus your business.
Absolutely. And even here, they this past December, they actually changed some of the laws again. They loosened them up in some areas and tightened them up in other areas. So it's an evolving thing. Definitely trial and error. One thing that I think is funny in Louisville is that even though they have all these rules and regulations, they also don't know how to regulate them. And so, like me, as someone who's an Airbnb host and has been for 8 years, if I have to call downtown and ask a question about this or that, they don't always know the answer, which is funny, but because they created the rules. But yes, first
Ever
and
evolving,
foremost,
like you said, it's ever evolving.
yes,
So.
ever evolving. But yeah, so like first and foremost, I would say it's important to know rules and regulations for your territory. Then one thing that you want to do is I always encourage people to actually just like browse on Airbnb, see what seems to be successful on the platform in your territory. There's always a need for one bedroom, one baths. There's always a need for a seven bath, or I'm sorry, a seven bedroom, five bath house. But honestly, and it's kind of like middle of the road, really, was what we have found to be the most successful. Four bedroom, two bath house, something like that tends to be the most popular. And currently, like I would say that that is the bulk of our properties is that size. Do research on the areas that are popular in your town and what makes them successful because guests are looking for an experience when they arrive. So it's important to know like what's surrounding your property, what can they walk to, what events are in the area that weekend. Like some people will book with you and not say anything the entire time, and some people will book with you and have a lot of questions. So it's important to know the answers to those questions and be prepared.
Being a good host, we were kind of talking about that before we jumped on the podcast too. What are some things that you can do to make sure that you are a good host, that you get a good review and keep getting guests to come visit your house?
Yes, good question. So, Airbnb has evolved a lot since it first started. And, in the beginning, Airbnb was, hey, this is a couch in my living room. Do you want to stay here? Or, hey, I have an air mattress in this bedroom. Do you want to stay here? But now the expectations with guests is they want to rent a home that is completely furnished, but also no one lives in. Like they want it to be almost hotel-like. With that said, though, I encourage all of my clients, and when I do consulting, I do share that you want to make it a cozy and comfortable experience. So while it can be hotel-like, let's not make it sterile. So when you're designing, you want it to have something that's like appealing to people. I also think that sometimes for the experience sake, here in Louisville, we are horse country and bourbon country. So sometimes I will encourage our host, or I'm sorry, our homeowners to buy like bourbon barrel stave art or bourbon barrel heads with like art on it or horse or derby things like jockey outfits framed and stuff. So like kind of like appeal to your area and what people are coming there for. it's all about the experience. So give it to them. They're coming to your city to experience everything there. So let's just, as soon as they walk in the door, give it to them.
That's like Asheville having the different cabin fills, or the black bears, the fur rugs, the I mean, yeah, you've just gotta find whatever that that theme is, I guess, and give your guests what they want.
Yeah, absolutely. So a theme is exactly what I encourage our clients to do. And then just being available to answer questions, or being available if there's an issue. These are people who might be unfamiliar with your area, but also they might be people who are like overreactive about things and exaggerate things. So when they bring an issue to your attention, definitely like make them feel heard and understood, but also try to like in the most comforting, calming way, figure out, hey, like how significant is this? Like, you know what I mean? Like let's work together to make this a good experience for you, but also don't get on my nerves.
Harder to say that in so few words,
Yeah.
but do you well, as a the manager for the managing these properties, do you typically handle and field those questions, or are you depending on the homeowner, are they fielding that? How does that work for complaints, or not just complaints,
Sure.
but this, yeah.
If we have been hired to be your management company, our goal is full turnkey service. So ultimately, our goal is that the homeowners don't have to do anything other than receive a check from us. So really, the only time that we would reach out to a homeowner is if there's like a big maintenance issue, HVAC is out, pipe is busted, something like that. Otherwise, like we just take care of everything. So to answer your initial question, our team communicates with the guest and is troubleshooting with the guest. And because we've been around for over 8 years, we have really good vendors, trusted vendors that can go into our properties and also put us first if we reach out to them for an issue. So, and I no longer communicate with guests. I have a team for that.
Put it off. Hey, delegate. You can delegate. That's awesome.
Delegate. That was one thing that happened after the pandemic. I said, sorry, I can't communicate with guests anymore.
No, I'm just gonna pass it off.
Yeah, we hire
Do
someone for that.
you handle long term, like at all, with any of your clients, or is it primarily short term when it comes to the rental? I know you did it, you said, with the traveling nurses and so forth. I don't know if that was something that you've taken on at all, or said, this is absolutely not for us. What's your take on long term versus the short term market?
Yeah, so for us, there are three different types of rentals. There is short term, which is, Airbnb. There is midterm, which is 30-day plus. Those are typically the month to month. And then there's traditional long term, where people have long term leases. Our company does do long term, but it's not like our focus. And we also do midterm, which is the month to month. For the month to month, we have a handful of those properties. I think there are pros to cons to doing short term rental and midterm rental. Like there's pros and cons to each of them. For midterm rental, the month to month, it's nice that you have someone in there for a longer period of time. Your turnover rate isn't as high. They typically, especially if they're like nurses or in our case, work at like the Ford plant or the GE plant, like they're working really long hours. So when they come home, they typically just want to go to bed. So they're being really respectful of the space and not having like parties and being wild. The cons of midterm rentals are, while you might have consistent income coming in for maybe 4 months, 9 months, even 13 months, whatever. Well, you might have that consistent income coming in. If you have a guest depart, during kind of like a slower period or a lull, like your unit could be sitting empty for 2 to 3 months while you find the next tenant. But on the same hand, with Airbnb, there is high season and there's low season. So you're fluctuating like this, and then it might all just even out in the end, because even though you might make A smaller amount in January, which for us in Louisville, like that's the most abysmal month out of every year. Well, you might make a smaller amount in January. We know that in March and April it's going to pick up. And then for Derby weekend alone, you're going to get a massive amount. And then you have all summer. So like both have their pros and cons. But yes, we do manage short, mid, and long-term rentals.
So let's say they've bought a property. They are not sure whether they want to handle the management or they want to pass it off to somebody else. Like, what do you feel like the pros and cons are of either passing it off or what they should be looking for if they just want to do it themselves?
Sure. Well, I mean, first and foremost, obviously, if you do it yourself, you pocket all of the money.
Right. Making money is part of the short-term rental game, right? You've got to take that into
Absolutely.
consideration.
Absolutely. So for if you're managing it yourself, you collect all the money. However, the cons of that is when do you want to go on vacation? And if you have three kids and one of them's sick, are you going to be available to clean the house even though your kid is sick? And there's all these like life factors that come into play if you're managing it yourself. And I mean, to be honest, if you have multiple properties, I would definitely say that you would want a management company and not doing it yourself because you're going to be pulled in all directions. You're going to have sick kids. You're going to want a vacation for yourself. You're going to have family emergencies that come up. So, and then you have your full-time job too, I'm sure. So much like I said earlier, are you leaving work at lunchtime to rush clean a property? Like, those are cons of doing it yourself. For management companies, I guess I would be biased and say that they're obviously the better option. But
Why
also
you would
like,
be biased?
for management companies, you do have the pluses of not having to manage, like be a part of this process at all if you don't want to.
Right.
But the con would be, you're not going to be getting your full payout that you'd be getting directly from Airbnb yourself. A lot of management companies these days are taking about 25 to 30% of the guest paid reservation. Cleaning fee is typically outside of that because that usually goes directly to a cleaner or a cleaning team. But yeah, so if you use a management company, like they're going to take 25, 30% of the booking reservation.
It's just determining how much stress is worth that extra money, or if you're okay with pulling your hair out like I have. No,
Oh,
those of
is
us
that
listening,
how that happened?
that's exactly how that happened. Yes, for those listening and not watching this, I am bald. So that's what the real estate market can do for you. Unlike Justin, who has a full head of hair, but it's
Hereditary.
fine. Lucky. No. No, it's just determining how much stress you're fine with dealing with and how much you want to, like you said, delegate. And that's exactly how you've evolved in your business on what is important to you to keep your hands on versus who you're comfortable with passing it off to. And I feel like that's just the game you've got to play with anything, but especially if you're looking at doing short-term rentals and you want to dive in head first, then you've got to weigh out your pros and your cons.
Yeah, I mean, you have to know that you really have to be available 24/7. You're in hospitality now. This isn't property management. This is hospitality. So you are answering questions around the clock. You're handling issues around the clock. I mean, before the pandemic, there would be times that I was laying in bed and get phone calls at 2:30 in the morning because a guest dropped the keys and the key fell through the cracks of the porch. Like, and I have to deliver extra keys. So, I mean, that definitely, though, you have to consider those types of things if you want to manage it for yourself. Not, it's not all bad, but you just have to be available 24/7.
What's one of the crazier stories that you've had over the 8 years, that we can tell our listeners about at least?
Fair. Two initially come to mind. One is, and this is an earlier story. So, we had this really great guest that checked into the property, and she was so complimentary and very communicative, and we assumed everything was great. And so she had booked for like a week. And at the end of her week, she reached out and she said, "Hey, I'm going to extend today. But I have to like load my card," or whatever her excuse was, that she like had to wait for funds to come in so she could pay. Not a problem. She's communicating with us still. Seems all great and fine. So then she just stops responding, and checkout time has passed by several hours, and she's still being unresponsive. I don't want to just barge into the house because I don't want to scare people, but now it's reaching a point where, hey, like, you're not talking to me anymore, and I know you're at the house. So I go to the property. And it turns out that this young lady was a prostitute, and she did not take care of the house at all. And she really pulled the wool over our eyes. And she had some guests there when I was there that I had to throw out and call some assistance on. That was like very early on, and she had like burned holes in curtains with like her cigarettes, and like she had been like eating in the bed, and all the like sheets were like really like gross from food and stuff. I mean, this girl really pulled the wool over our eyes. Like, she was like so sweet in all of her messages, and then that happened. And
You
then
gotta be real careful when you're doing these to make sure that you've. Does Airbnb provide the like ratings of guest at all, or is it just on the host side of things? Okay, so it can be a
Absolutely.
two-way street just in case.
Yes, you're correct. It is a two-way street when it comes to reviews. And Shelby never booked with us again. So that was one instance. And then another one was people like, so one thing that you have to know when you get into the Airbnb business is that your neighbors are going to be watching this property like a hawk. More than likely. Like, that's been my experience. Like, most neighbors don't want to live next to an Airbnb.
Don't know
So,
who's coming in and out.
yeah, exactly. So your neighbors are gonna be watching like a hawk. So over the years, we've heard that, hey, there's a party at your Airbnb and it's out of control. And so, like, I would show up. There is no party. There's maybe like eight people inside, and they're playing music and having fun, but it's certainly not a party. So we've had false alarms many times over the years. But this one night, I get a phone call from someone at 10 o'clock, and they're like, "Hey, I just want you to know your guests are having a party. Cars are lined all around the block. There's people going in and out." And I'm thinking, okay, sure, I bet it's this crazy. So I get in my car at 10:30, drive to the property, and as I'm approaching, a mile and a half away, I start seeing cars lined up all along the street. And then I make a right onto the street, and there's cars all in the driveway, cars in the yard, people like, I mean, rager, a big rager. Think about like the high school movies and when they're having the parties in the high school movies. Legitimately, that was this party. So me and Jonathan just jump out of the car and start telling these children, "Time to go home. Time to go home. Get out of
Time to
here.
get
Time to go
out of this.
home." Yeah, it was truly insane.
Well, I mean, how often do you run into these sorts of negative situations to where it is so, I mean, it's still worth doing the Airbnb portion of it if it's only
Absolutely.
one off here and there.
No, you're absolutely right. I feel like there are more horror stories out there about these type of situations rather than what's actually happening. One thing that we've done to help mitigate that is that we don't even allow one night stays anymore. Like, you have to book 2 nights minimum in order to actually stay at the property. So there aren't parties, because people who want to throw parties, they're only trying to book one night. So if I can give any advice to avoid those things, it would be one, 2 night minimum for your property. And two, there is a device out there called a noise aware. The noise aware doesn't record conversations or anything like that, but it does measure volume and decibels. So all you can do is like plug this into the wall and then you'll have a little monitor and you can watch the noise levels. You set it. And so you watch the noise levels. So if they exceed the noise levels, you'll get a notification. So those are two things that we instilled later after experiencing some of these things to help
Learn from
mitigate various types
experience.
of things. Yeah, get some experience under our belt and then we can put these things into play.
Want to wrap it up and thank you so much for joining us for Lending Forward. I hope everybody got a lot of good information from this, even if it was a fun story about what you hope doesn't happen on it. But thank you, Justin, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having me. I've enjoyed talking to you. Just to put it out there, I still am a host, but I have a great team now, and so my focus isn't solely taking care of guests. So right now I do consulting for people who want to get into this industry. And I also help with short-term rental design because, as I mentioned before, it's about giving a luxe experience to your guests, not just the status quo. So if there's anyone that would like to talk to me about consulting or design, I would love to spend time talking to you. I guess Cody and team will put my information out there so you can get in
Yeah.
contact with me.
And what's your Instagram so that I mean that I know that's where I see most of your successes going on. What's it for everybody to give it a follow?
Yes, my Instagram is at the Justin Reed, and Reed is spelled REID.
Perfect. There you go.
Yeah.
Good deal. Thank you so much, and thank you all for listening to another episode of Lending Forward, and we will catch you next week.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube, and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer, located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.